Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys coming up today. On this Tuesday, we're going to talk top 25 matchups in college football. Good slate this week. We got a bunch of ranked matchups. We'll dive into all of those bets that I like. We will also talk Survivor Pool on this Tuesday. Just about everybody advances to week two. Only three underdogs win outright. We'll look at the board this week and we'll give out some plays that we like. Our guy Nick Kenyon going to join us middle of the show. And then also we'll talk a little Heisman Trophy. Garrett Nussmeier is your favorite going into this week. He's got a big matchup against Florida. We'll look at the Heisman odds and break down some of the guys that we like there. And then we'll wrap up our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Chime in, anything that's on your mind, and we'll get to them over the next 30 minutes. And as always, if you guys miss any part of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get locked and loaded on a Tuesday. Glasses in session, and let's start with a little gridiron glass. We look at the top 25 matchups that we have upcoming week three in college football. We'll start with the first game, which could be an interesting one. Noon Eastern time, 11 Central. Oregon Ducks travel to Evanston to take on Northwestern. Oregon right now a 28.5-point favorite, and the total in the game is 50.5. Oregon looked awesome this past Saturday, beating Oklahoma State 69-3. At Northwestern this week, and then Oregon State upcoming, and then Penn State the week after that. So is there a little bit of a look ahead for the Ducks with the rivalry game against Oregon State, and then a massive showdown against Penn State, the whiteout game for the Nittany Lions the week after that? Dante Moore, obviously still a young, inexperienced quarterback. And Oregon, we talked about it in the offseason, right? These Big Ten games where these teams have to travel through multiple time zones, even though Oregon is going to win the game, they're way more talented than Northwestern. Are they going to cover four touchdowns on the road? These are those kind of games where Northwestern, I feel like, is going to make it ugly and low scoring and sloppy. It could be a great game to correlate with the side or total if you like the Ducks, or excuse me, if you like Northwestern, then take them plus the points and also take the under. I don't think Northwestern's going to cover a game like 42-21. They're probably going to cover like 31-7, somewhere in that neighborhood. So I think it's going to be a great game to correlate. If you like Northwestern plus the points, take the under in that one. What about number 12, Clemson, taking on Georgia Tech? Clemson's a 3.5-point favorite. The total in the game is 54.5. This is a real interesting one. Clemson was a 6.5-point favorite on the live line. They were actually, or the look-ahead line, they were a 9.5-point favorite in the summer. They lose the game to LSU, fine. But then it was last week's performance against Troy where they were down 16-0 in the first half, where everybody's starting to sound the alarm bells on Clemson. And is this team maybe a little bit overrated? Cade Klubnik has not looked good at all the first couple weeks. Now they go on the road and take on Georgia Tech, who was one of the teams in the ACC that maybe outside of Clemson we thought could compete, could be one of those teams to meet the Tigers in the ACC championship. I think this is a bad matchup for Georgia Tech, though. Their offense is really difficult to prepare for and go up against, but everything they do is predicated on the ground, especially with their quarterback, Haynes King. And Clemson's defensive line is fantastic, and their run defense is really, really good. I think Georgia Tech's going to have a tough time moving the ball in this game against Clemson's ground attack, right? So I understand why the line is moving, why it is. Clemson is 0-5 against their spread in their last five true road openers. They have struggled in this spot. But with that being said, I do think they cover the 3.5. I would probably just take them on the money line. I think they're a good money line parlay piece this week. I think it's too much steam on Georgia Tech, and I think it's a bad matchup for the Yellow Jackets. So I do like Clemson to take care of business this week. What about Wisconsin taking on number 19, Alabama? Bama's a 20.5 point favorite. The total is 46.5. Talked about it yesterday in the Bet Now games. I like the under. This feels like 27-3, 27-7 kind of game to me. I think Wisconsin's going to have a really tough time scoring the ball. Their starting quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr., is still questionable to play this weekend. Even if he plays, I don't really think it makes all that of a difference. Wisconsin, their offense is not built to score points against Bama. Bama struggles with teams that have mobile quarterbacks and run all these type of design runs. Wisconsin doesn't do that. They just want to line up, fullback, I formation, two tight ends, and ram it down your throat. You can't really do that against Alabama. I think they're going to have a tough time moving the ball. And defensively, they're always solid. So I think Bama's going to struggle a little bit on offense. I like under 46.5 in that game. Central Michigan and Michigan. Wolverines, a 27.5 point favorite. Total in the game is 42.5. I do like Michigan in this game. Excuse me, I like Central Michigan in this game against Michigan. Michigan's Sherrone Moore, their head coach, is going to be suspended 2 games. He's out this game and next week at Nebraska. Biff Poggi is going to take over. Yes, that is his name, Biff Poggi. It's a bad spot for Michigan. Coming off that monster game against Oklahoma at Nebraska next week, which kicks off Big Ten play, and all you have sandwiched in between is a home game against the Chippewas, who it's one of these in-state games. It's going to be their Super Bowl. They're going to get up for it. And Central Michigan went on the road in week one and beat San Jose State, that a lot of people think could contend in the Mountain West this season. So I think 27.5 is way too much, especially considering Michigan's going to be without their head coach, and it's a bad spot for them sandwiched in between Oklahoma and Nebraska. I like Central Michigan. A team that has another bad spot this week is Auburn, and they're laying 24.5 at home to South Alabama with the total of 53.5. You look at Auburn, they got Oklahoma and Texas A&M coming up the next 2 weeks on the road. So they're saving it for that game. It's going to be two tough games on the road in SEC play. South Alabama just hung with Tulane. They lost 33-31, a very good Tulane team who could end up being the Group of Five champion. Major Applewhite is the head coach for South Alabama. If you follow college football, you might remember that. Former head coach, former offensive coordinator at some big schools. South Alabama, I think, can keep this game close, but it's really a fate of Auburn with Oklahoma and Texas A&M upcoming. Georgia and Tennessee, love Georgia this week. One of my favorite bets in college this week. Now Georgia's down to -3.5. Did not think it would get this low, but I love Georgia. Again, Georgia has done nothing so far this season that we normally don't see out of a Kirby Smart team. He's now 0-10 against the spread against FCF schools. He's 1-14 against the spread as a 38-point favorite or more against FBS teams. The look-ahead line was Tennessee -7. But because Tennessee has beaten up on a bad Syracuse team in East Tennessee State and Georgia struggled, now all of a sudden this line is down to 3.5. Kirby Smart has beaten Tennessee 8 straight times. They've covered in 6 straight games, 8 of the last 9. They've won 8 straight SEC road openers. Georgia always gets up for these games. They always play Tennessee well, and Josh Heupel usually has no answers for Kirby Smart. I like Georgia -3.5. How about South Florida and Miami? Top 20 matchup. South Florida, been an unbelievable season for them so far. Upset Boise State week 1, upset Florida in week 2. Can they do it again in week 3 against Miami? Now, if you guys listened to the show last week, you know I loved Florida. That was one of my favorite bets of the week. And I think people that were on the Gators last week, it's going to be tough for them to go to the well again and bet against South Florida getting this many points. But if put yourself in the shoes of South Florida, right? Again, you've had those two big upsets against Boise and especially Florida. If you saw some of the videos surfacing after that game, how fired up the players were, the coaches were, how could they not? They just beat Florida in the swamp. Can they regather and get ready for one of the most talented teams in the country? And Miami is not going to be sleepwalking in this game because of what South Florida did to the Gators. Miami beat them in Tampa last year, so the fact that they played South Florida I think is going to help them going into this game. I like Miami minus 17. Speaking of Florida, they're on the road this week taking on LSU. The Tigers are an 8.5-point favorite. Total in the game is 48.5. Every time in college football, when you have a matchup like this, star-studded matchup, big brands, and a team loses a look-ahead spot, like Florida did, losing outright to South Florida, I'm always going to back Florida in that next game. I don't know if they win this game outright, but I am going to take the Gators plus 8.5. And LSU's good, man, but are we sure they're as good as we think after what Clemson was able to, what Clemson looked like against Troy last week? Finally, Texas A&M and Notre Dame, top 16 matchup. Notre Dame favored by 7. Total in the game is 49.5. I think this game's going to play very similar to the way Michigan-Oklahoma did. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think Notre Dame's going to win. They're going to be in control the whole game. But that back door is always going to be open for Texas A&M. So I don't want to lay the 7 with Notre Dame. I'd rather just bet them in a money line parlay. I think like Clemson-Notre Dame, very good money line parlay this week, something like that. But I like Notre Dame to win the game. I'd take them on the money line at minus 275. All right, you guys, let's keep it going. Let's talk a little Heisman Trophy here on Send It In. And we got some breaking news. The 49ers are placing George Kittle on IR, and they are waiving kicker Jake Moody. We're going to get into the NFL slate over the next couple days, but that Niners line that was once minus 7 because of the injuries, Kittle on the IR, Brock Purdy's banged up, now it is down to minus 4.5, and they get rid of Jake Moody as well. So very interesting there. Let's talk a little Heisman Trophy here on Send It In. And let's start with Garrett Nussmeier right now, who is your favorite at plus 800 to win the award. And he's got another great opportunity this week going up against Florida. Then you have John Mateer plus 900, Carson Beck 10-1, Dante Moore 11, Arch Manning back down to 12-1, Lenore Sellers, Gunnar Stockton, Devin Dampier 15-1, Drew Aller, Jeremiah Smith, Julian Sain, Jackson Arnold at 20-1. Garrett Nussmeier for me would be the play right now. Even at plus 800, I still think Garrett Nussmeier is the play. LSU's got a very difficult schedule. They play Florida this week. They still have to go on the road at Ole Miss, at Bama, at Oklahoma. They still have to play Texas A&M. A lot of top 25 matchups for LSU this season. They still have to play South Carolina as well. Their schedule is very tough. So Nussmeier is going to get plenty of opportunity to show up, win some big games, play well in some of these big games. And I think he's one of the best quarterbacks we have right now in college football. LSU's always got a good offense under Brian Kelly. Great receiving core. They got a good running back this season. And the big question mark for LSU coming into the season was all those new offensive linemen that they have. Four new guys starting the season. Well, they arguably faced their toughest test in week one against Clemson and overall did a very good job. They're only going to get better and better as the season goes along. So I think Garrett Nussmeier plus 800, there's still value there for him to win the Heisman Trophy. I like that quite a bit. John Mateer is at plus 900 for Oklahoma. The Sooners, it still kind of feels the same for me. Michigan is a very good defense, but so does Oklahoma. And offensively, even though Ben Arbuckle came from Washington State to Oklahoma with John Mateer, and I think Oklahoma's offense will get better as the season goes on, they also have a very difficult schedule, and they're going to go up against a lot of very good defenses. And if Oklahoma doesn't make the college football playoff, I think the only way Mateer wins the Heisman, if he puts up crazy numbers like Jaden Daniels did the year he won the Heisman, but LSU didn't make the playoff. So I'm staying away from John Mateer, especially at this price. You could have gotten it to like 25-1 in the offseason. I have no interest in that. Then you have Carson Beck at 10-1. I do think Carson Beck is interesting, but Miami's schedule, they do have to still play Florida State. They still have to play Florida next week. They're on the road at Pitt, at Virginia Tech at the end of the year. Carson Beck was the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy last year, but Georgia leads the college football in drop passes. He gets injured. He didn't turn out to have as good a year as a lot of people thought he did. But behind that Miami offensive line with Shannon Dawson as his OC, I think Carson Beck's going to put up some good numbers. I just don't know. I think he's going to have some stinkers along the way that's going to prevent him from winning the Heisman, so I don't want anything to do with Carson Beck there. Dante Moore, I don't want any part of Oregon. I know they've had a nice start to the season, but let's see what they look like against Penn State. Let's see what they look like against Iowa, against Washington, against USC. They still have some tough games coming up the rest of the year, and that's where Dante Moore is going to make his case. Look, the last couple years, these Oregon quarterbacks have been towards the front. Bo Nix nearly won it. Dylan Gabriel has certainly put himself in the conversation. So while Dante Moore is off to a good start, I still think he has some bad games upcoming too. Arch Manning at 12-1. Again, we talked about buying the dip on Arch last week when it was 16-1 at 12-1. I'd probably stay away. And then Lenora Sellers, I wouldn't touch that. I don't think South Carolina is going to win enough games for him to win the Heisman Trophy. So as it currently stands, I wish I could give you guys a long shot, somebody to target. Maybe like the guy from USC, the quarterback, would be somebody to look at potentially in Maiava. But that would be the only guy at 25-1. I think Garrett Nussmeier, even as the favorite, 8-1, 9-1, I still think there's some good value there on him to win the Heisman Trophy. All right, let's go to our guy, Nick Kenyon. See him waiting in the chat. Get to him. Talk a little football with our guy, Nick, BetMGM senior writer. Give him a follow on X at Nick Kenyon. Nick, let's talk some NFL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Friend, week one in the books. What were some major takeaways that you had from week one?
Yeah, hi, PJ. Good to be with you as always. I think the biggest takeaway for me, and I'm happy as a Packers futures backer, I think the difference between the Packers and the Eagles in the NFC should not be as big as the market is indicating right now. It's basically odds makers are telling you it's a two-horse race for the NFC winner in that market. Eagles plus 350, Packers plus 450. I just think the way the Eagles are winning right now is a little bit unsustainable as you head into the deeper part of the season. And yes, I know they didn't have Jalen Carter, but they basically needed a red zone turnover against the Cowboys to survive in a 4-point win. I thought the Packers looked really good against the Lions, especially that offense. We can debate about the defense a little bit, but I just was so impressed with Jordan Love and that offense that I think this is a team that's really going to contend in the NFC and potentially make a Super Bowl run.
They did look really good and definitely an impressive statement. We'll see them on Thursday against Washington. Do you have a quick early thought on that game, Nick? Because Washington, their defense looked pretty good. Also a big win against the Giants. These Thursday night games tend to favor the home team. Green Bay laying 3.5. Any early thoughts on that one?
I liked the Packers a lot better when it was 3. It's still probably Green Bay or nothing at 3.5. I really worry about the Washington defense in this game. I think they only played something like 5 games against top 10 DVOA offenses last year. 4 of those 5 had at least 30 points, so maybe it's a Packers team total alt look on Thursday night, given they have back-to-back home games. Washington has to travel. The Commanders, I know it was 21-6 against Washington, but New York missed a couple of red zone trips that they couldn't convert once they reached the Commanders red zone. So I think that score line's a little bit fluky. So I would be looking to sell the Commanders on short rest in Green Bay.
Fair enough. We got a Super Bowl rematch on Sunday, Nick, between the Eagles and the Chiefs. Right now, the Eagles are favored by 1. Who do you think wins that game at Arrowhead on Sunday?
If you're someone who has confidence picking this game, power to you. I'm sitting it out from a side standpoint, especially we don't know what is happening with Xavier Worthy. We also don't know what's happening with Jalen Carter. There's a chance he gets suspended. I'll say this, though. The total's too high. It's at 47 right now. I know the last time we saw these teams, it was this big run-gun, point-scoring fest. The Eagles put up 40. I don't see that happening. Like, early in the season, I still have questions about this Eagles offense with the transition from Kellen Moore to Josh Grader at offensive coordinator. And I think there are going to be some growing pains. I really wasn't that impressed with them against the Dallas defense. I know that sounds crazy, but on the flip side, you have a Chiefs offense that doesn't have Rashee Rice. Even if Xavier Worthy plays, he's probably going to be banged up. And they couldn't do anything for 2.5 quarters against the Eagles defense in the Super Bowl. So I don't know where the points are coming from for the Chiefs. In a game where you're probably getting a lot of run-heavy game script, I don't know how this total gets to 50. So it would be the under or nothing for me in Philadelphia, KC. But I want to wait on Jalen Carter's status.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Nick, when you look at the board for week 2, any favorites that you like right now at the current price to cover the spread?
Give me Denver. I mean, this is a crazy number, right, TJ? Like, yeah. 2.5 against the Colts. I know the Colts looked like absolute world beaters against the Dolphins. I'll raise my hand and say I got that game completely wrong. But I think that game was more about the Dolphins and how bad they are than the Colts being actually good. I mean, I don't see how Daniel Jones is going to move the ball against the Broncos defense. And if you're a Broncos hater entering the season, you're like, oh my gosh, look at how bad they looked against the Titans. And I get that, but what's hidden in the box score from Miami and Indianapolis is that I get it's only on 12 carries. The Colts defense allowed 6.5 yards per attempt against the Miami run game. If Bo Nix, if you take the ball out of his hands, you take away some of those turnovers, and you just let this run game shine behind one of the league's best offensive lines, I just think it's going to be a bad spot for the Colts. And history backs me up on that. Like, if you look at early dogs who are coming off a big win, it's historically wise to just fade them immediately. So this is since 2003. Underdogs off a win by 21 or more points are 16-34-2 against the spread. When they're at +3 or shorter, it's something ungodly, like 5-23-2. I think this number is disrespectful to Denver. And I think anything under a field goal is good by me with the Broncos.
Talking with Nick Kenyon here on Send It In. Give him a follow at Nick Kenyon, BetMGM senior writer. We're talking week 2 in the NFL. Totally with you on Denver, Nick. We gave him out on the show yesterday. How about an underdog that could win outright this week? Our Raiders came through first, a nice start. We going back to the well with Vegas this week or somebody else we like?
I have to, PJ. In for a penny, in for a pound on the Raiders. I mean, this line is crazy. Like, yeah. So let's set aside the money line for a second here. This should be 3, right? I mean, this should not be sitting north of a key number in a divisional matchup where you have the Raiders feeling themselves and everyone's going to be so in love with the Chargers after they beat the Chiefs, who everyone's hating on. I think this is a field goal game at minimum. I don't know if the Raiders are going to win outright, but one thing I'll mention, if you do like the Raiders to win the game on Monday night, Pete Carroll is 9-1 to win Coach of the Year right now. If you don't already have investment, I still don't think you've missed the worst of the number on Carroll, who I think this team could be a pesky playoff team. And maybe, just maybe, you get a Pete Carroll Coach of the Year win. So if you like the Raiders on Monday, I certainly do. I think you have to add some Pete Carroll Coach of the Year at 9-1.
Absolutely love that angle as well. Definitely going to be on the Raiders on Monday for sure. Any other bets right now, Nick, that you like for week 2?
Look, I'm going to be on an island. This is gross. Everyone brace for impact. Give me the Panthers +6.5 against the Cardinals on Sunday. This is a real stat. The Saints had more red zone trips than the Cardinals did in week 1. Kyler Murray, not very good against the spread as a market favorite, 14-19 ATS in his career as a favorite. And literally, it's just classic buy low, sell high. Like, everyone just saw the Panthers look horrible against the Jaguars, and everyone saw the Cardinals win outright against the Saints. This look ahead was something like 4.5. I grabbed it when it was +7. I still like it at +6.5. Obviously, if you want the 7, this is better. But the Panthers stayed within this number against the Cardinals last season. And I just think there's too much love for the Cardinals team that the Saints were 1-for-4 inside the red zone. They could have easily lost that game outright. And I just think this is classic overreaction. And look, if you look at the splits right now, all the money line bets are on Arizona. All the ATS bets are on Arizona. No one's going to be on the Cardinals, or the Panthers, excuse me. I will be the one person cheering on Carolina. So give me the Panthers +6.5.
I love it. Last week, Nick, we rolled with the masses. We took Denver in Survivor. This week, Ravens or somebody else for you in week two?
Give me Dallas. I think there are very few opportunities to use them this year, and the Giants just looked really bad. What's even more concerning is the Cowboys have extended rest, and Dak Prescott actually pretty good straight up as a market favorite within the division, 29-5 straight up against fellow NFC East sides when he's a favorite. If you look at when he's -5.5 or higher, 19-1 straight up in those games. So when you pair that with the extra rest advantage, back-to-back road games for the Giants, even if Andrew Thomas plays, the matchup advantage for the Dallas defense here is along the interior, because that's where their strength is on defense, along the interior of the defensive line. So I worry about that Giants offensive line, and I don't even know how they defend CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. So I don't know if they cover, but I'm going to burn Dallas in Survivor this week. The Ravens feel like a trendy pick, but man, that Browns team looked pesky in week one. So I'm going to stay away from that game, even though it's the highest spread on the board.
Nick, before we let you go, in about 30 seconds, we know you're locked into the NFL, also the English Premier League as well. That gets restarted over the weekend. Any early looks in any games that you like?
Two so far. Tottenham team total over 1.5 at West Ham. Second game, Manchester Derby. Give me Man City in the first half. You can find around +110, +115. And then I'm waiting to see on Jared Branthwaite whether he's going to play for Everton. If he does, I'm going to take a look at Everton as home favorites against Aston Villa on Saturday morning.
Outstanding. Nick Kenyon joins us each and every Tuesday here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, BetMGM senior writer. Great stuff as always. Nick, enjoy the rest of the week, my friend, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Enjoy week two, PJ.
All right, great stuff there from Nick. Let's continue talking Survivor in week two in the NFL here on Send It In. Okay, so obviously the masses, everybody was on Denver last week in week one, and a majority of people are going to be on the Ravens this week in week two. The Ravens are probably a good bet. We talked about it yesterday, how it's a very similar spot to what they faced last year and how they lost to the Raiders outright in week two. And if you guys go to BetMGM, yesterday we gave out Browns +12.5. That line is now down to Browns +10.5. So the pro money, the sharps, are coming in on Cleveland, because that's not public money moving the line 2 points on a Tuesday. That is sharp money. They like the Browns. I think that is very, very interesting and pretty telling. So a lot of people are going to be on the Ravens. If you think the Ravens are on upset alert, this might be a good week to go elsewhere. Nick brought up that the Cowboys might be a good play. I think that could be a good look. I also think the Green Bay Packers on Thursday could be a good look. Now, Green Bay looks like maybe the best team in the NFC and one of the best teams in all the football right now. But we don't know what's going to happen later on in the season. We don't know what guys are going to get injured. We don't know if maybe they're going to have some stumbles along the way. We know what an advantage it is to play at home on Thursday night, especially when your team is as good as Green Bay. And as awesome as Jaden Daniels is, and as great as the Commanders have been against the spread since he has been the quarterback, probably the worst game or one of the worst games they played last year was when they had to go on the road against Philly on a Thursday night. And now here they face the Packers on a short week on the road. I just think it's a tall task. And even though many people are going to want to save the Packers, I kind of think they're a really good survivor option this week in week two. I also think the Bengals could be a good option in week two as well. Jags look awesome in their week one game against Carolina. The Bengals were fortunate to beat the Browns. Here we go again. Bengals struggling early on in the season, but they have a big opportunity to go 2-0 to kick off the year. I think they win the game, so maybe if you're willing to bet Cincinnati, take them in Survivor. I don't think they're a bad look as well. Teams I would probably stay away from, the Rams. I would not be interested in them at the Titans. You have to travel multiple time zones from LA to Nashville. Eagles are on deck. Keep that in mind. And that Titans defense was really good against Denver. They made that game ugly and sloppy. Think they can do the same thing against the Rams. Lions, I would be careful against them against the Bears, right? Caleb Williams a little disappointing last night after the first drive, but you know Ben Johnson's got a little something extra saved for the Lions. And boy, Jared Goff, I got my concerns for him and that Lions team at home against the Bears. The Niners, just too many injuries. George Kittle on IR, Brock Purdy injured. Yes, it's the Saints, but Kyle Shanahan and the Niners have lost games like this in the past, so I'd stay away from that. And then Nick talked about how much he likes the Panthers. I definitely would not touch the Cardinals again this week. Saints nearly tied up that game and send it to overtime. Kyler is a big favorite at home. I'm not touching Arizona this week, so I would stay away from them as well. All right, you guys, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. BetMGM account holders are receiving Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and same-game parlays. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. Before we get to PJ's plays, Notre Dame fan in the chat, hey, Peach, any quarterbacks with one loss that you'd buy the dip on to win the Heisman? Arch, Klubnik, Underwood, Simpson, or C.J. Carr? Honestly, at this point, it'd probably be C.J. Carr or Ty Simpson, I think, would be the two guys that I would look at. Klubnik, no interest. Underwood, no interest. And Arch, I think last week was the week to get him at 16-1. With Ty Simpson, again, they got the Georgia game upcoming in a couple weeks, and I kind of think Bama's going to win that game. If they do, man, his price is really going to shorten. C.J. Carr's got a big opportunity off a bye against A&M. I think he plays well, so I would look at those two guys. Real quick, got about 20 seconds left. We'll go through our favorite plays of the day. Lindor's going to be our guy today in Going Streaking. Kyle Bradish over 15.5 outs against the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's looked good in his return. Angels money line, our dog of the day at +105. And then the Athletics money line at -110 is going to be our best bet. So that's what we like for today. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks again to Nick Kenyon. Preston Guy going to join us tomorrow. And Chase Kitty. We'll see you guys then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.